States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. Well, the final preparation for the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games in Normandy took place this past weekend at Great Meadow in Virginia, and Karen O'Connor was there to watch the squad as they had their final run. Karen, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks again for having me, Chris.
Well, it was an interesting weekend, but I guess a fun weekend in a way when you've just got the very top riders in the country in a very small class. It makes it for really intense viewing, doesn't it?
Well, and we were blessed with fantastic weather. It is the middle of the summer in Virginia, and normally the weather can be very, very hot and humid, and the ground can be quite hard. But we were so fortunate. We had terrific weather, beautiful weather for competing and also for spectating. So we enjoyed several thousand local spectators coming out to cheer on the shortlist while they were working away on their final trial.
Well, let's talk about the runners and riders then, because now it's over and they'll be really more focused than ever on those final weeks before they leave for Europe. But we should talk about the ones that didn't show. Unfortunately, we had two that didn't compete this weekend. We lost Jan Binney's horse, Imidair, and then, of course,
yep,
Lauren Kiefer and your old mare, Veronica, did not run. Do you want to just explain the background to those two? Then we can talk about those that did run.
Well, you're right. They both, unfortunately, had to withdraw from the competition. I know Jan's horse sustained an injury, which has taken her and her horse in midair out of the program, which is so unfortunate. We all know it can happen. We all know that horses and riders alike are the athletes, and that injury while training is something that can happen. So, you know, my heartfelt sadness for Jan, that lovely, lovely horse, isn't in the program for the rest of the season. And the other one, of course, is Veronica. And that was a bit more of an accident, really. She was schooling in show jumping in our arena the day before with David, having a lesson, and doing a cavaletti gymnastics exercise, and just made a wrong mistake, wrong move at the wrong time, and got tangled up in the rails and came tumbling down with Lauren. Thank goodness Lauren walked away. But the mare has, some bruising and some contusion, so she's healing very, very well, but it took her out of the competition. So the two are quite different. I'm not really sure. We'll have to wait and see how fast Veronica recovers from that, whether she will still ship as an alternate, or whether I'm quite certain that for sure she will be able to satisfy her grant that was given to her to do the CCI at Burley or Blenheim or Poe, whichever. But I don't know how she's how fast she's going to come along to be able to make the trip to be a reserve for Normandy.
So that obviously left us with 13, well, two riders were Canadian, so a little bit extra in the mix there. But let's talk about the American riders, because for them, it was the last chance to show that they were ready, they were on form. And let's begin, of course, with the dressage. How did that look for you?
Well, actually, if I can, just even before the competition started, all of the riders congregated in the Middleburg area for the entire week. They arrived on the Tuesday, and they had training with David. And then on Wednesday, they had a combined test that was held at Morningside Farm. It's the beautiful property of Connor Hussein and his family. And they had terrific dressage and show jumping. Sandy Phillips, she flew over from England for the week, had judged the dressage at the combined test as well as at the final outing, and she was available to teach people dressage lessons on Thursday and Friday as well. Sylvia, the swimming coach, he was there on Wednesday and also available Thursday, Friday, and throughout the weekend for the show jumping. And of course, David was there for anything that people wanted. So it was a terrific week of instruction and education and conditioning for the horses, and also the entire community of Middleburg really stepped stepped up, got so involved. There was social gatherings every evening of the week to encourage our riders along, and they had a great week. As things turned out, they did the dressage on Saturday morning. There was a draw on Wednesday night for the order of go. It was a random draw. So the order that you saw was literally done after dinner on Wednesday evening and drawn out of a hat. So that was how that went. And Anne Brunette, she was the first one to lead the dressage part of the competition. She was amazing. She went right down centerline and had a wonderful, wonderful test which really held throughout the morning and finished. I can't remember. You have the scores in front of you, Chris, but I think it was on 45, something like that.
Correct.
And held on for second place. And everybody continued on. I think we could probably go through each horse a little bit if that's what you'd like to do.
Yes, let's do that, because as you say, Hannah Sue and William, or Harbour Pilot, went first, and they scored a 45. So let's talk about the rest of the field.
I know that there is incredible depth in when these riders get to Normandy in all three phases. The dressage will be at the highest level that it has ever been seen in eventing. You've got riders from all over the world that will be not leaving anything on the table and going for every point they can get. We saw some very good tests on Saturday morning, and we saw tests that are still improving as every competition comes before them. So I think it's very exciting for the dressage race for the U.S. Certainly at the head of the group is Boyd on his wonderful horse Shamwari, and he did not disappoint the crowd on Saturday. He had a terrific test, scoring a 42, I believe. And you know, that's just a wonderful combination that they've been able to partner a really fast relationship, and so it's very exciting there.
Now, what about Philip Dutton? We have to mention that he had two rides to choose from. How did they look to you?
I thought both of his horses looked really well. He went early and late, obviously. I was delighted to see Mighty Nice continue on to improving his dressage. I think you have to remind me what the scores were. I think Mighty Nice was on a 48.
47 for Mighty Nice and 52 for Trading Aces.
Yeah, and Trading Aces is early, maybe a little bit fresh, enthusiastic, and the test continued to improve, and he settled into some good scores. But again, it was an early test, and I think that he, obviously you wish for better marks, but I don't think he was disappointed in the test itself and the way the test improved as it went on. And I was very happy to see Mighty Nice. It was in a great shape, very forward-riding test. Some of the horses were very fresh, very, very fresh. Buck's first horse was really fresh, got very over-the-top enthusiastic and suffered for the marks that them were given on that horse. But then he came right back on Reggie and put down a wonderful test.
Well, that first horse, of course, was Park Trader, and second horse, Reggie Ballinocastle RM. So, well, obviously that would be his first choice of horse, and he finished on a 48 and is in sixth place after dressage.
Yes, and that's the horse he's been selected on. He's on the squad with Ballinocastle RM. And then who else have we got? You have the placings there in front of you.
Absolutely. After dressage, then Lynn Szymanski was third with Donna.
Yeah, and that was a great test for Lynn. She did the test right at Kentucky and scored a 55. So this was remarkably better. The horse was in a great shape, good rhythm. The wonderful canter, great changes, all of that. He struggled a little bit with having the big trot, but the trot is continuing to improve, and Lynn works continuously with David, and they've really, really improved that horse's trot. So that's very exciting news for Lynn and Donna going forward to Normandy.
And then Kim Stevenson was riding Fernhill Fearless, of course. She's also named to the squad. She finished on a 51 in eighth place after dressage.
That was one of the few tests that I didn't get to see because I was warming up a couple of the other people. So, but I did hear that it was, you know, a very, very good, tiny, economical test that that had consistent scores and so was right around that 50 mark, which is certainly very acceptable. We all know that we're signed on the jumping phases, and Kim's a master at getting every point she can in the dressage. So, again, you know, very, very workmanlike test, very tidy and accurate, and, you know, she's, the horse continues to improve. So that was very exciting.
Well, of course, one combination that you do help is Marilyn Little and RF Demeter. And Demi finished in fifth after the dressage on a 47.5. This is a mare that's been very consistent. How is she looking now, Karen?
Well, I think she's looking really consistent. You know, getting her marks now in the last, since Rolex, her marks in the mid-40s. And that's very exciting and very positive for Marilyn looking forward to if she's called upon for Normandy or going on to either Burley or Poe. So that mare continues to improve, getting really learning how to sit, really learning how to be very animated, light, and very up and more in collected frame that is going to give her the really big points against the best in the world. So we were really excited with her test.
And the other two, of course, were Sinead Halpin with Manoir de Carnaval and Megan O'Donoghue with Pirate. How did they look to you?
Sinead, I only saw the last bit of her test because then I was warming up. I think Marilyn may have gone right after her. And again, Kate always looks very, very workmanlike in the test. I thought the horse was in a really good shape on Saturday morning, using his neck more, which Sinead works on all the time to have the horse out in front of her, and a very, very tidy, very, very good, solid performance. And Megan, that's another test that came right after one of ours, so I didn't see her test. And I can't remember what the score was, but it was in the low 50s, is that right?
55.
First time in this program. She is a very, very exciting rider to watch, super talented. The horse is wonderful jumper, wonderful cross country horse. You know, she's such a great girl and such a talented rider for now, but also for the future. I think we're going to see lots of improvement and lots of success from Megan and Pirate going forward. And again, you know, all of these alternates, if they're called upon, they too will be in with quite a fight and you know, they'll give their very, very best performance that they've had. So I thought everyone did really well. Everybody looked very polished. And then moving on in the day, on forward to the show jumping.
And that took place in the evening, so hopefully a little bit cooler. And presumably another good crowd came for that. It seemed to be altogether a local attraction for the weekend. As you said, wonderful crowds for the cross-country on Sunday. Was there a nice atmosphere on Saturday evening?
Oh, it was just amazing, amazing atmosphere. First of all, everybody had to come in, you know, a little bit of a you know, sweater or T-shirt or jacket or something to cover them. It was just a little bit chilly on the evening. It was just so unusual. Yeah, again, there were thousands of people. There was a lot of atmosphere. It was a very happy, happy crowd that was totally into it. And I loved seeing that there were multi-disciplines represented in the spectators. A lot of the groups from local polo and show jumping and dressage, they all came out to cheer on the U.S. team. It was standing room only, and it was also quite an educated crowd for most people, and yet we had people travel from all over Washington, D.C. There's tremendous advertisement for the weekend, and that's for me, it seemed like a home week. I saw people that I hadn't seen in 20 years. So it was really, really fun.
And clear rounds were in abundance over Richard Jeffries' course then. I believe 8 of them went clear.
I thought the show jumping was fantastic. I thought, again, Hannah started it off with a beautiful clear round. I've never seen William jump so well. She's just recently changed a bit. She got some advice off of her boyfriend, Doug Barnes, to try a polo bit. And that's what she's riding in. And she's really excited about the communication she has now with William, and so that's really, really wonderful. And then, as you said, there were 7 others behind her, and I thought Everyone did a wonderful, wonderful job. We saw some beautifully smooth rides. Richard Jefferies wasn't in attendance because, of course, he was out in Montana, but he did send his drawings of the course, and David was in charge of heading up the setup of the course. And so I thought the course was good. It was bigger on the Wednesday at the combined test, where they wanted to test the scope of the horses. And then this was just a little bit of a smaller course, but it was in a much smaller arena, that polo arena. And so they had to be very forward riding off of short turns. And I think that everyone really had practiced and walked the courses with Silvio. I know Marilyn walked the course with her mom, Lynn, who was a Grand Prix show jump rider. And, you know, so they had their plan. And, you know, David walked with several. And so everybody was absolutely on it. And not just going out there to jump clear rounds, but to jump really nice rounds. Because if you ride well, you're going to be rewarded with clear rounds, as opposed to having the focus be on clearing the jump. It has to be much more, obviously, about the practice, the warm-up, the track that you take, the balance that the horse is in, and the shape that the horse is ultimately going to jump in. So I thought as a country, as a group, we looked absolutely fantastic for the show jumping.
Well, a fabulous evening. Obviously, you mentioned there that David set the show jumps. He was indeed, of course, responsible for the design of the cross country, which took place the following morning.
Yes, he did. We spoke a little bit about that. His philosophy for his cross country course was not to have the horses, quote unquote, tested for the highest, the widest, and the hardest, but he wanted them to have a confident round. So he developed exercises for the horses to work over that were up to the standard, the exercises themselves, but at a size at which the horses could really come off the course feeling very, very confident. And that's exactly how it went. We had every horse and rider combination jumped clear jumping, and the time faults varied depending on what people wanted to do. I know Buck said in the press conference that this horse always, in the preparation for a major competition, he always wants to give him a hard run, give him a strong run. And that's how Reggie runs the best. And Philip echoed the same on Mighty Nice. Hannah went out as the first on the cross country course again, as she did in all three phases, and came home with, I think, maybe 3.2, or I can't remember the time slot, but she had a relatively quick ride. I think everyone was pretty much in the same area of the time, anywhere from, say, 3 or 6 time faults up to about 11 time faults. And so the placings at the end of the day fell where they were. Ultimately, Mighty Nice was your winner, and Ballyhoo Castle Lion was second, and Hannah was third, and with William, and Demi was fourth with Marilyn. And it went on from there, and I think everyone got exactly what they wanted out of the competition. I saw Tim say in a press conference that it was, in her mind, the best preparation she's ever been able to have as a final child in the numerous team competitions leading up to the championship. So that is a great statement coming from a veteran rider. I think everybody came out of it really, really well. It was a really great weekend.
Well, obviously, you've had so much experience in those final preparations for a major championship, Karen. So just talk us through this to contextualize it. Where the results fall at the end of this, they fall, but the riders do what they feel is best for the horses over the cross country, and the time faults will show because they're not running them flat out. So for those that are not familiar with the choices they make, and they may look at the score sheet and say, oh gosh, everybody had time faults. Well, they did for a reason, didn't they?
Absolutely. I would never question a rider's decision on whether they were going to run for the time or not in a final trial. That is absolutely done with educated eyes and with a lot of discussion with the coaches. And what I saw was everyone rode to orders. They were either their own orders or orders that David gave them. And that's why I think all the riders across the board really, or even Clayton's riders with the Canadians, every rider went out and did what they thought was in the best interest of their horse to go, to have the horse prepared for Normandy. And again, this takes a very, very experienced team around each horse. to make that determination, and not something that would ever be second guessed by someone that's not within that circle. And I believe the horses are ready. I think all of the horses look very fit. And this group of riders is going to fight for a medal. They are going to fight like you've never seen an American team fight before. And I'm really excited about that. This group of riders is ready, and they have a lot of cohesion between them and camaraderie. And I think it's going to be very exciting how it all unfolds in Normandy.
Well, we have just over 3 weeks to go before the start of those games. Can you give us a sense of what the plans are for them now as they prepare to travel to Europe?
The horses fly in 2.5 weeks. That weekend of the 15th, 16th, 17th, they fly from New York to their ultimate place of base, which is going to be in Chanty, in France, which is just north of Paris. And they will be there for right around 8 or 9 days, something like that, maybe just a little over a week. And then they truck the horses to Normandy, and they will be there for the opening ceremonies. And I think that they're, now that they've gotten the final trial, they have 2.5 weeks to continue to step up the conditioning program on these horses. They have some strong gallops that have to be done, which is always, you know, something that has to be done. If you get closer to the competition, you don't really want to do it, but you have to because you know it's in the best interest of the horse's fitness. They've got plenty of dressage training and show jump training to do. Maybe someone will want to school a specific exercise that is a cross-country exercise before they fly. But again, each horse is customized for that horse and rider for all of the variables that fall before these riders in their final preparations to the Altec Games.
How much time will David be spending with any of the riders during this final preparation, Karen?
Well, I know that some of the riders are off to Millbrook this week with other horses, and then of course there's Fair Hill the weekend after that, just in Maryland. And so there, I think that the riders are continuing to compete their other horses right up till the end. They want to be ready and practiced and on fire when they get there. And so they are thinking this year is to have the riders stay at home until the last minute and continuing their businesses, continuing their competitive life, continuing their teaching of their other riders, and also continuing to develop other horses that have other owners and other agendas for this year, and not to leave all of that behind for an extended period of time, which has always been a little bit of a difficult thing for the riders to go away for a few months and leave everything behind. You know, this is much more palatable for the riders and their owners and their teams and the other horses to be able to continue life as close as it can stay in those final preparations.
Keep the business running. So you mentioned they were flying the horses in 2 weeks. Will that just be the team and the reserves, or where will the alternates go?
I wish I could give you a crystal ball. I don't know the answer to that. I actually did ask David when that determination was going to happen, and he said the end of this week. So how many horses they actually fly to Chanty, and how many riders? You know, we have a couple of riders with two horses that are on the list of 12. And we have the alternates. So that is going to be the $64,000 question. I don't know the answer to that at this time. Sure, Chris, we know that they will be shipping, I would think, I'm just guessing, but it makes sense that they'll be shipping at least two of the alternates. And so we'll see how it all falls.
Well, I'm going to get you to put your hand on your crystal ball now, Karen, as we go into these World Games. Yeah, I mean, it's, and as you say, the Americans are going to be absolutely fighting for these medals, but we all know how competitive the Europeans are and will be. Germany, for sure, favourite, have a very strong team again, all the usual suspects. The British riders just lost Pippa Funnel and Billy Beware, unfortunately, but they also have such strength in depth now. So, come on, give us your top three teams now.
Right. Well, I think that on the day, it's anybody's game, but there are certainly, in my mind, five strong teams Germany, and obviously Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, and I put the U.S. in there as well. And I think those five teams are going to fight to the bitter end. I guess everybody's asking the question, can anybody beat Germany? And I think Germany can beat Germany. You know, we never know. Germany had a very strong team 4 years ago when I competed as well for the U.S. in Kentucky. It didn't happen for them on the team scale. Anything can happen. The top three, my guess, will be out of those five countries.
Okay, all right. We're not going to narrow it down then, but how about the individuals? There's such a choice there, Karen.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. I think that across the board, Andrew Nicholson, he can ride anything in any course in any weather, and I believe that this is going to be a fierce cross-country competition. So you certainly want to go with cross-country performances that also can flank themselves with really good dressage, and is going to have to jump clear show jumping. So you need a very, very careful horse that's a big mover, that has is piloted by a mastermind in the cross-country. So, Andrew's one of my favorite riders, and I believe it's his turn to become the world champion. Obviously, you've got Miguel Young, you've got William Fox Pitt. I think you have, obviously, Boyd has a wonderful dressage horse, and he's a careful show jumper. He doesn't know that horse at the level he's about to do, as well as he would, if he was doing this with a six-year relationship with the horse. But my goodness, he's done a wonderful job with his great performance at Le Moulin. I think very much in there in the hunt for a medal. You've got just so much depth of top riders. You've got Ingrid's got her wonderful horse, and Sandra, and these people are that competition will have some amazing scores, and I can't wait to get there, and I'll be riveted. I'll be watching every moment.
I'm sure you will. All right. Well, hopefully you'll be able to come back and tell us how it all unfolded right after the games, Karen.
Well, thank you, Chris. I think it's a really exciting time, and I've never been to Normandy, and it's got tremendous history with the United States, obviously, and I'm looking forward to seeing all of that as well.
It is a beautiful facility at Arras du Pin at the stud there, and beautiful terrain, so I'm sure you'll enjoy it, and you might enjoy some of the wine that goes along with it too.
There is a little bit of a chance of that possible.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Karen, for coming on the show this week, and of course, the best of luck to the U.S. team.
Well, thanks, Chris. Go USA. Let's cheer them on.
And you can find more information about the games and the full schedule on its website at normandy2014.com. There'll also be extensive coverage on the USEA website at useventing.com. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.